Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode number 96. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, gentlemen?
Jeff Beck died.
Wow, that's quick.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just going to start off the episode. I'm going to just do it now. I had to get that out off my chest. It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Yeah. How old was he, Nate?
78. Yeah, he ended up with bacterial meningitis.
That's not good.
And they got him.
Not good, but yeah.
Fantastic guitar player.
Yeah, that's right.
He was, yeah. He's a legend. I saw it by Mr. Brett on Evil Never Dies on their Facebook.
I saw Jerry and Brett.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I did, yeah. I hadn't heard it until then, yeah.
Yeah, he does things with the Stratocaster that you don't really see a whole lot of other guys doing.
Now
really?
He does it. Yeah. Now he's going to be doing it in heaven. Yeah. You know, all the
now he's really good.
Right. Yeah, now he's now think about what heaven must be rocking and rolling. There are some really amazing talents that have gone over to the other side. I mean, there's
not the last
something to look forward to.
5, 6 years, 7 years.
You know?
Yeah. Prince, Tom Petty, and Glenn Frey, and Jeff Beck.
The list goes on.
David Bowie.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot. Yeah, so way to go, Sean. Thanks for starting us off.
I thought I would just...
But I see what you're doing.
You know, I want to get that out of the way.
Yeah. What was that?
I got something stuck in my throat. Good. I got a frog in my throat.
You had a burp stuck.
Oh, hold on. Speaking of frog...
Oh, no. Here we go.
I just want to brag on my Georgia Bulldogs.
I know.
Whipping up on
65-7.
Yeah.
It was close.
Okay. 1,000-0.
Before the game started.
Man, that was
Let me tell you, I was disappointed. As a Georgia Bulldog fan, they didn't hang 70 on them. I wanted
70.
I actually wanted 100.
Skunk them. How could they score? How did they let that happen?
I was like, what are you doing? My boys won back-to-back. I've already ordered... a T-shirt for Elijah and I. A license plate, new license plate frame, 2 pendants, a keychain. So, like $165.
I figured you'd be excited.
That's not too bad.
No, and that's just a start. There'll be more stuff.
Helmet.
Probably, yeah. So I was so excited. I got to bed at 1:15 a.m.
Did you really?
Because I stayed up and watched all the interviews and the post game. Mm-hmm. I must have seen the highlights 75 times and just
sitting there. Did you do 2 backflips?
I did three.
Three.
Yeah. Mr. Carl and I didn't get to bet. He on their last episode and then on Facebook, he said, he goes, which one of them, the creepy guys, which one of them likes Georgia? And Brett goes, I think it's Todd. And Carl goes, oh, yeah, it is Todd. Mm-hmm. He goes, I might have to reach out to him and make a friendly wager.
Oh.
And I'm just smiling the whole time, you know.
Go for it.
I started working and got distracted. Well, then he saw my post about it. And he goes, hey, let's make a friendly wager. And I liked the comment or something. And then it just, again, went out of my mind. So I should have reached out or he should have.
You're like,
but that's okay.
Could have made some fast cash.
No, it would have been friendly wager.
Friendly wager.
We don't bet.
Sure. Fast cash.
No, but I was very happy.
You could have bet with Monopoly money. That's
yeah. So very, very happy that my Bulldogs won. Mm-hmm. So, and I know... our friend, Erin Egnatz, her mom, Elsie, she's a Bulldog fan, you know, from Georgia.
I've noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, so we were very happy.
Georgia.
So, yeah, they had some frog legs. 65-7. Anyway.
Oh, like I said, it was close.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hanging right in there.
Like there's some great videos on TikTok.
Oh, sure.
You know, the Water Boy with Adam Sandler and when they're really terrible. And
you can do it.
Yeah, there's one. He's sitting in the. It's like they're at halftime, and he's what's his name that played Fonzie. He's in the locker, and he's like got his face hidden. He's like, hey, anybody got any ideas? You know, I don't know what should we do. You know,
anybody will do.
And
what's like, this game we're playing?
It said like TCU at halftime.
Anybody have any ideas?
But TCU should be proud.
Well, guys,
for getting there.
Yeah.
We can't get any worse.
How could it get any worse?
Yeah, it was 38-7 at halftime, and he still gave up 27. It's like, wow. Yeah, I guess it did a little better, right? Yeah, so.
So you're happy.
I'm happy, if you can't tell.
I feel happy.
I am happy. I also want to mention a very happy birthday to my baby girl, and I know she loves that when I say baby girl. Mm-hmm. Olivia is 15 today. I have a 15-year-old. I can't believe
Chew.
It.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Time goes quick.
Yes, it does, Nate. Amy texted me last night on the way to one of my cleaning jobs, and she was telling Olivia about the night before, you know, and when the contraction started, and we were just going back and forth. Yeah, I remember you were, you know, in pain, and she, we drove her to the hospital because we thought, okay, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, you're not close enough. Send us back home. This was, mm-hmm. it's a 45-minute drive. So mm-hmm. then we came back, and she tried to take a shower to relax, and then it didn't work. They gave her pain medication. She threw up, got sick. It wasn't, she's allergic to what was like, was it Valium or something? I don't know what her Vicodin mm-hmm. or whatever. I think it's Vicodin. And gosh, but yeah. And then the next day, had our baby girl, first baby. So happy birthday to Olivia.
Happy yeah. birthday, Olivia. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, she got a lot of nice birthday wishes today Yay. From the Facebook group and family and friends. So yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're painting a very good picture. I was gonna say, at first.
Painful.
Pain. Throwing up.
I didn't do that.
You know, Harrison.
I was just anxious.
Harrison turned 15 in November, and the funny thing is, we were talking about his birth story, and Jenna had back labor, and I took her in, we got her all checked out, we were ready to have the baby, and they said, "You're not ready yet." She waited another week. Sorry, a year. Yeah, a whole another year. Another
wow,
week.
She an elephant?
Right. Exactly. Another week, and she was just miserable. So I that's how our 15-year-olds came into the world, just causing misery.
When
pain and misery.
We got her in there. So then we called the doctor the second time, and she's like, "Okay, you can come back." And we're like, "We're staying this time. You're not sending us back."
Right. That's what I had you.
And when taking her in there, and she's just, you know, screaming.
Hold
and,
on to the door frame. We're not leaving.
We get up to the room and get that epidural, and it was a whole new ball game. It was. I remember the nurse said, "Dad, you're gonna have to probably step out. You're not gonna want to see this." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I guess it's nasty, you know."
With the epidural?
Yeah.
Well, it's a big needle. It's a long. It looks kind of gross.
So they took care of that, and they're like, "Okay, you can come back in." And man, Amy was just like, "Happy days." I was like, "Wait
happy
a minute,
days
you're
are
not
here
the same
again,
person
right?
that was 4 hours before was, you know, ripping the door off the car." Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, yes, it turned out great, and we love her to death, and she is a good kid. So, yeah. How's your week's going? How's your week going?
Mine's good.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even better now. I'm always looking forward to this.
Man. I had a
Me too.
Company supplied lunch today.
Really? So what'd you have?
Always nice. Yeah. Always nice.
What'd you eat?
Even if it's nasty. It's still
was
nice.
It nasty? Or was it good?
It wasn't my favorite.
What was it?
It was sushi? A place up there called Mancino's, I think.
Oh, yeah. Mancino's, yeah.
Got Mancino. Sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, hot grinder type sandwiches. But didn't have a whole lot of flavor. I wasn't too impressed with it.
Oh, that's too bad.
However, it was free.
It was free, so it was good enough.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I grabbed a bag of Cheetos. Well, I didn't see that it said Flaming Hot Cheetos. Ooh, I'm not a big fan of those.
No.
But I ate them.
It'll get your attention, though, right?
Yeah.
Yikes. They're not that bad.
Coming in, going. Just,
I don't really care for the flavor over regular Cheetos. Yeah. I'd rather have.
My 12-year-old son
Original.
Loves them. He loves the Flamin'
Our
Cheetos.
Kids
oh, I know.
Like
that's on my youngest.
I don't like either.
That's what he
Flamin' everything.
Anything
I don't like
hot.
It.
He wants the hot Lay's potato chips.
Yep.
He wants
Our
the
kids do too.
Hot
it's
Takis.
Weird.
He wants
Oh,
the,
yeah. Elijah loves those.
Anything that says ghost like pepper on it. He gets jalapeno kettle chips, and it's like, you're not going to have a stomach left, bud. Everything you eat is spicy.
Ulcers.
Yeah, that's nasty. Yeah, Elijah does it. He likes the jalapeno. I'm like,
I don't mind spicy stuff from time to time, but it's not my go-to by any means.
Yeah, you don't eat it on a consistent basis. Either. It can be rough, yeah. No, I'm like barbecue sauce. I've got to have the mild. I mean, you know, I like a little flavor, a little kick, but no.
If it's too spicy, then I stop enjoying what I'm eating.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's just hot.
Yeah.
And you can't, I don't.
Then the flavored disappears.
Yeah.
All you're concentrating is, my mouth is on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that I'm in my 40s, my delicate system just can't handle that stuff anymore. I can barely handle onions anymore. Like, onions are like, oh, here comes the GERD.
I don't like onions. No, I don't like so onions stupid. Either.
I like onions,
chopped
they,
up, diced, you know, and then put into something mm-hmm. where I don't really taste it.
Onions, like. Guacamole, and things that, like, high mm-hmm. acidity, just every
yacamole,
once in a while makes me.
I call it.
Yacamole. And I like guacamole, but not when it causes.
Mine's usually red sauce.
Yeah.
So anything that has red tomato sauce, it's almost guaranteed to have heartburn.
I get so frustrated with it. It's silly.
That's, yeah. That's good.
Middle age.
Yeah. Welcome to the 40s. Yeah.
Well, wait till you're 50. Almost, well, I'm not 52 yet. But.
This is 40, right?
Although my stomach is still, like, I'm not like I was when I was younger, but it's still, I'm still, I can handle myself.
You know?
I can still do Taco Bell, Long John Silver's, mm-hmm. you know,
iron
White Castle.
Clad or cast or whatever.
I just can't do it as much.
Cast iron.
Cast iron, that's what I'm trying to say. Mm.
It's not good for me.
Well,
not much upsets my stomach. It just.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. So I'm glad. Yeah, I'm having an okay week, you know. It's
just okay.
half day. Which is a half day. Halfway through the week, so
that's
little
right.
hump day.
Got any more of them days off?
Dave Chappelle.
Yep. I don't get days off this week. Mm. They Man. Need me.
Do they?
Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, you really don't? Oh, you mean like all week?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I'm going to be working.
You don't get any of those days off.
14 days straight or whatever.
Nice.
Money, money, money.
Yeah.
Well, you'll make it. You can do it.
Oh, I can do it.
Yeah. It,
reluctantly.
Sometimes it's a curse to be wanted.
Tell me about
it. So many jokes.
Like,
so
I'm like,
little
leave
time.
Me alone. I know.
Inappropriateness running through my head.
Yeah. Then
then I wake up.
Sunday's open end book.
Yeah.
Like, plan on 12, but it might be more than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Still double time, right?
Yay, wallet.
That's better be some rest in there.
Well, hang in there. It'll be all right.
It'll be fine.
We just don't let it affect your, you know, superbness with the sound
superbous.
And editing. Yeah.
Superfluous.
Tell them that, you know, you are an award-winning sound engineer. You can't be messing that gig
up. Superfluous superbness.
Say, look, dude, I make a lot of zeros. I got it.
Yeah.
I'm
how many zeros do you get? Because I get a lot.
A lot.
Okay, well, hey, creepies, we're glad you're with us. That was our week and all
as
that,
is.
And my Georgia celebration. Sean,
yes.
Why don't you do the first announcements?
I think I will. I feel up to it now. So the first part of the announcements, we do this little thing called a podcast, and we like to have fun and talk about creepy stuff. But one of the most important things that we do, and we lay this foundation every single time, is because we know that everybody out there needs help. You know, there's anxiety, there's stress. There's turmoil, there's everything out there, and we need help. We all do. So we want to always bring this back to building a mental health community and helping each other. So we want to give out information for that. You can always call or text the number 988 for any and all types of crises. You can also text home to Christ-I.
Is that singular?
Yeah.
You can also text home to the number 741741. I like how you put the little dash there. Don't be scared.
I was wondering if you're going to catch that.
I got that. Don't be scared to get help by going to counseling. Find one that you feel comfortable with and know that it might take a few times to find the right counselor, the right fit, right?
Absolutely.
You can also visit stopbullying.gov for another way to get help with bullying, because that is also a big stressor out there.
Nice. Good job.
Thank you.
Personal story.
Oh,
I like that. Let's go.
This weekend. Had a local 22 Christmas party. And as me and Rachel were leaving the hotel that we stayed at, some of the security stopped us at the door down in the parking garage. Said, be cautious. There's a guy with no shirt, no shoes down here. So, okay. Says we're walking to our car.
Is he drunk?
He's on the opposite side of where our car's at, banging on the fan shroud to one of the little rooms down there. It was like an exhaust fan.
Oh, okay.
And he's like on his tippy toes up there just banging away at this thing. Mm-hmm. Well, so, of course, Rachel's like, uh-uh, no, we got to go back in the hotel. I said, come on, let's get in the truck. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know? And then he starts walking towards us as we're
It's like a zombie movie.
Yeah. As we're going, I said, just get everything in the back of the truck.
Don't look at it.
Was he clicking? Go get in the truck.
Was he clicking his teeth?
No. So I was like, you know, and when I jump in, we'll just lock the doors. It's fine.
Yeah.
No big deal. And yeah, he was walking towards us, but he never came towards us.
To you.
Yeah, to us. Yeah. So we came around, started heading to the exit, and ran into the folks again. We say, yeah, he's back there. He's still down here. Oh, okay, thank you. So they went that way. Well, now they're on his tail, and as we exit and come up the ramp to the street level, there's like a 10-foot drop from the down ramp to go down in there. Well, mm-hmm. he comes up to that little cement wall, it's a mulch landscape area down below that. He jumps over and drops down that 10-foot because they're coming up the ramp trying to get to him.
Yeah.
Well, then he lands okay and proceeds to start burying his feet in the mulch.
In the world.
He's hiding.
Oh, man. I don't know.
He's hiding.
Or he finally realized that his feet are ice cold, and so he's trying to warm them up. I don't know.
Oh.
So, yeah, definitely some mental issue of some sort going
Poor guy.
On. So as we're pulling out, we saw the security folks there again. It was like, he jumped over that wall. You look over there, he'll be straight down below you.
Oh, okay.
Burying his feet.
Yeah, burying his feet. That's we're driving back. I said, it might have been an iron worker that got loose from his hotel room, too.
He had a little too much to drink.
Yeah.
Extracurricular.
Yeah, there might not be really any mental issues. Just
chemically off.
Wait a minute, that's Kevin
in a different way.
Yes, it's hey, out Kenny. There, folks. Yeah,
man. You wonder what got them to that point. Like maybe it's just
how did his morning go? Did he forget to take his medicine? I said that to Rachel, and she's like, "Oh no, he hasn't." Had his medicine for a long time.
What the end of Nate's story is that this was actually one of our top listeners, and we drove him to.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I was going to ask, so why were you
I'm
there, Sean? Why were you there?
Why was I there? Yeah. No shirt. I had my Mako shirt.
Don't worry.
Hand.
It's just Sean. He won't hurt you.
You didn't, you didn't have a Mako shirt.
I had my merch on me.
Yeah. Great. Oh, that's that co host of that stupid podcast. Leave him alone. We understand. We get it now. Well, I hope that guy is okay.
So hopefully he's getting the proper care and help.
Right. And let's hope so.
No doubt.
And hopefully it didn't turn into some violent.
Yeah, true. No, really.
Altercation.
Incident. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. So. Well, and a 10-foot drop's.
Oh, he took it like a champ.
Man.
He was like Spider-Man jumping down there.
Does whatever a spider can.
My gosh. I mean, I jumped down like a. One step at the monkey. Home, and I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like I'm jumping off the Empire State.
Well, I was like, okay, here's my story. As we're talking about this, I was putting the Christmas stuff back in the closet out in the garage, and it's we have a step there now that I've built, but it sort of teeters just a hair. So I put a box in there, turn around, go to step out. Catch the front edge of the step. It teeters.
Yeah.
And I just keep going forward. So I drop to my knees, start to drop to my hands. And I was like, I'm not going to fight this. I'm just going to go. So I just went flat on my belly and looked underneath the refrigerator. And I was like, well, there's no water underneath there. That's good. Laid there for a minute, sort of laughing at myself. And
That's all you could do.
Got up, dusted myself off, and came back in.
Good thing nobody saw that.
You know, you didn't have to tell anyone.
No, actually, I was hoping Rachel was right there at the door watching me.
Making a
TikTok
video. I'm
sure it was spectacular. It's like slow motion. I was like, knees, hands, elbows, belly.
We'll get this going here, but I've got one quick story to go along. So this was like, 11, 12 years ago. I'm walking across the stage at the church, you know, just going from one side to the other. and it was dark. I mean, I could see, but we didn't have we have shades up at the very top that lets sun in. But I didn't turn any lights on or anything. And I was not paying attention, and I got too close to the front and went right over. My next step, right
man.
To the ground. And when you don't expect it, I mean, you talk about whoa, that was a little different. Yeah. I was okay, but man, that could have been bad.
I could have
broken
lane.
My leg or ankle or Oh my gosh, I just went step and boom right down. And you watch like the entertainers, like the singers, when they do that, they'll step off the stage.
And they're like, "Wee!"
It's exactly like that. I'm just walking. Boop, there we go.
I have no stories like that. I've had impeccable balance, I have reflexes like a cat, so I don't know what you guys are talking about. Liar. I won't tell my story.
Is he going to say that?
I've got too many stories. Just kidding.
Hey, those were funny stories.
Way awful.
And thank you for sharing those, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that guy gets some help.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, you know what time it is. Dad joke time.
Wow.
That's what you're supposed to say. But
dad joke time.
There you go. There you go.
So the script, not script says. Okay.
Dessert coffee.
No, something better. It's the dad joke of the show.
I was kind of hoping for a dessert.
Hey,
too.
What has five toes and is not your foot? My foot.
Wow. That was.
Yeah. That's, yeah. It does.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. I mean,
it's true.
So there you go. Five toes, not your foot. It's my foot. So that's the dad joke of the show. It's good stuff.
Stanky.
There.
Yeah.
Stanky.
Get some stank on it.
Had to stink.
Let it just savor it. Just
so I'm going to savor something.
Hey, we got some shout outs. Special announcements?
Not enough, though.
Mm-mm.
I don't. I like to see.
Yeah, it's only really the only
a
two.
A solid
though.
12 normally. Yeah.
12. Get out of here. It's only 11. Hey, I want to give this young man a shout out. He is. His name's Aiden.
He was 87, though, wasn't he?
Huh?
Wasn't he 87?
Get out of here. Cut his mic, Nate. This young man's name's Aiden. He is the order taker at Portillo's in Avon, and a good buddy of mine, Jim Coverdale, and I went to dinner there. I had never been to Portillo's, by the way.
It's very good.
It was very good.
It is good.
I had a chicken breast sandwich, fries. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So this guy was so nice, professional, greeted us and did it the right way. So I asked him if he likes podcasts, and I can't remember what he said.
He said, maybe.
He's like, well,
it doesn't matter. Here's a card.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I go, I don't really, no, I
don't
said,
really
I don't care.
Care.
I really don't care. Here's
you
a card.
He was a teenager?
He was probably 20s. High school or college. Yeah, he was a young guy. Great guy. And he did his job excellent. And I told him I would give him a shout out.
Nice.
And I said, if you listen to this coming Wednesday, you'll hear your name. So, Aiden. And then this sweetheart. Friday, we went out finally for Elijah's birthday, just a month later. Took three times the charm, right? he wanted to go to B-Dubs. So we did that, and then we did Sky Zone and went home, and we had 5 12-year-olds and a 13-year-old with us, and we survived. So this young lady was our waitress at B-Dubs, and her name was Amina, and she was a sweetheart. She was, talk about professional and on it, and fantastic. So I, again, gave her a card and said, hey, if you listen to our podcast, you'll hear your name.
That's
so
cool.
Shout out to Aiden and Amina. Huh?
You put her in a headlock.
She put me in a headlock.
No, you better pronounce my name right.
You are going to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Noogie.
I said, please. No. So anyway, they were wonderful. Yeah, and she was young too, and just great service.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. So
and thank you, Aiden.
It's fun to give them
Amina.
Okay, now, what's coming up. Let's see, what is it? A little over 4 months, right?
Cautious excited, yeah.
Hillbilly Horror Stories live show in Lebanon, Indiana. The Boone County Jail Distillery.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Saturday, May 20th from 6 to 10 p.m. We will be there with the host show, Hillbilly Horror Stories, and the Tragedy of Cinema podcast.
T-Talk. That's how I read it now.
That's T-Talk. Right.
It's T-Talk.
Tickets are only $25 and are on sale at the Hillbilly Horror Stories website, or you can go to the Eventbrite website. And we hope to see you there. It's going to be fun. They're going to have some tables in the jail cells, too.
Come get you some, right?
Come get your tickets. Yes. So
go get you some.
Yeah, so it's only 4 months away. So get them there and then come out and see us. And it's going to be a great time. Definitely different. It's going to be fun. And then the last one is...
It's a distillery, so you know what that means.
Distilled water. Oh, no.
There's going to be spirits there.
Moving on from that.
Bad joke of the show.
The bad dad. It was all right.
It was good stuff.
I'm not sure if it was...
wasn't as stinky as yours.
Five toes on a...
Five toes Todd.
Yeah. Five toes Toddy. We are going to do our Mako on location at the Indiana State Sanatorium, and we are hoping for April 22nd or the 29th. It will be on a Saturday, mm-hmm. and we're going to do it during hours, so there will be people there doing investigations and tours, and we will be doing some recordings of some episodes. And then I've got Amanda. She's reached out to him. She's just waiting to hear back on the date and time. I would like to see if we can't get a maybe an official tour set up. So if anybody comes out,
awesome.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be very cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And we'll, like I said, we'll nail down the time and date, and we'll keep you guys posted. But anyway, it will hopefully be in April, and it'll be at the Indiana State Sanatorium, our first on location. So do some recordings and go out there and check us out. We'll have some prizes, too. We'll have some giveaways. So be nice.
You're going to give me away again?
I try to all the time.
Dinner date with Sean.
But they always give
I'm
me,
like, look.
But they give me back.
I'm like, look,
every time.
If you listen to the podcast, not only will you hear your name, you can have the co-host.
Just take him.
And, yeah, no. Anyway, we hope to see you out there, and we'll keep you posted. So,
I mean, if you're into the movie Hostel, I mean.
I know of the movies, haven't seen them, but.
They're pretty gruesome.
That's what I heard. That's why I don't see them. I like scary. I don't like gory. But that's it. That's all the special
that's
shout
it. That's all over? Announcements.
And now it
all
is
right.
your turn.
Let's give it
to
a wrap.
Tell our creepies.
Oh, we're not doing the wrap yet?
No.
I'm kidding.
No. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about Nate's pick. And I'm going to say Nate's pick.
Nate the Great.
I'm going to get better at that.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to talk about the infamous limp. Not limp. Limp.
What is it again?
It's limp.
Limp. Limp.
Limp.
Limp.
L-E-M-P. You messed it up the first time you said limp. I said say limp.
But I did it.
It's very, very minute. Speaking
of limp. Taking medication, we've got to get his Ritalin.
You got to get me under control.
We got to get you some.
It's L-E-M-P.
L-E-M-P. Yep.
Limp.
Limp. Not limp, but limp. Sorry. It sounds the same to me. Mansion.
Quit while you're behind.
I know exactly. Well, that's fine.
Move
but
on.
It's
you're not winning this race.
I'm not amused.
I know. Dang it. All right. So the Limp Mansion is in St. Louis, first of all. It is 3322 D. Menil Place, St. Louis, Missouri. It's a historical house in Benton Park, St. Louis, Missouri. Also the site of three suicides by the Limp family members, also the death of the son Frederick, whose William J. Limp Brewing Company dominated the St. Louis beer market before Prohibition with its Falstaff beer brand. The mansion is said to be haunted by members of the family.
Ooh.
Lots of tragedy. Lots of craziness there.
I think it's interesting that these guys were the first brewing company, right? They came from, I think, the first original. They migrated over here from Germany, right?
Mm-hmm. It goes back to the 1830s.
Right. And they were the first lager in the country. And they were also the first global distributor of beer in the country. I did not know that. I thought that was interesting.
I did not know that. Yeah, that's going back a ways. Yeah.
Like they always say, it is said to be one of the 10 most haunted places in America.
The most haunted mansion? So
we've never heard that before.
It's the 100th, 10th.
Right.
Most haunted places.
That would be 1,000. yeah, but you know what? This place is crazy. And five deaths in one mansion. Mm-hmm. And I believe four of them were suicides.
Yeah.
So. Wow. What do you get from that?
Who's talking to him?
You get some craziness, some hauntings.
Some dark spirits, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, they go back to the 1830s, but it was built in the 1860s. Put this on the list. Do you have it?
It's already there.
Okay. Yeah. I did know that they were in the beer industry and all that, but I didn't know how. I mean, they made some money. They made some cash. As we like to say. What'd you say? They were the first.
They were the first, and they were the biggest.
Major, yeah.
They started
Bush
distributing all over the country. That was huge for them. Then they went to Canada and Mexico, and then they started to distribute all over the world. That's pretty big for back then.
I'm pretty sure Yuengling's was the first brewery, or the oldest brewery in the United States.
Oh, probably. But this, I guess,
this one
went global.
Went global.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. Kind of like us, right?
Obviously, and when we think of St. Louis and breweries, we think about Anheuser-Busch, you know.
Right.
And Limp is still, it's still there. It's just falling apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This place, the mansion, was transformed from a stately home to millionaires, to office spaces, decaying into rundown boarding house, and finally restored to its current state as a fine dinner theater, restaurant, and bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. So we can definitely put this on the list because we can stay there.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah. And get creeped out. Yeah. It says here, it said years ago, this natural, or I'm sorry, let me back up one sentence. The Lemp Mansion and Brewery were connected by a series of underground tunnels and caverns called the Caves of St. Louis. It says years ago, this natural cave system provided the perfect temperature for aging beer. The Lemps would also use these caves of stone arches and Gothic walls to walk to work each day. Today, it's a horrific haunting experience like no other. That would be awesome.
Did you see any of the videos of that, what those look like?
I have not recently, but I have seen them. This is a popular top, you know, place to talk about. And so I've seen in the past, yes.
I was watching one. It was this couple that was investigating down there. And they said as soon as they got down there, their first remark was, this looks like Dracula's castle.
Oh,
it's so cool. So Gothic looking. It's so cool.
Right.
But they said it was so cold down there. There was actual snow and frost down there. And there was an air conditioning unit. And they're like, well, what would you need air conditioning down here? It's so cold. Yeah, they said that's how they, that was their trick or whatever to being able to keep the beer fresh and cold and everything. So it was down in those caverns.
And then they
were
beautiful
down there. Buildings. I mean, it was creepy, but it was really neat, though. It did give you the Dracula's Castle kind of video game Castlevania feel. I thought it did.
Well, we're definitely going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Says the Lemp Brewery Dynasty is one of the greatest ghost stories in documented history of the paranormal. But the real and truly scary place in the story is the brewery itself and the caves underneath. Says we recently took a tour of Lemp Brewery, where Halloween Productions Incorporated of St. Louis, Missouri, has opened a haunted house. So they do an actual haunted house attraction, which is cool. Kind of like Waverly, where they do the haunted house. They acclaim this haunt to be the only real haunted house in America. The minute you arrive at the Lemp Brewery, you literally feel the history. The complex is well over 100 years old and fully rich with Gothic gates, archways, buildings, and more. It says as we near the entrance to the haunt, we are shocked to learn that there's only one way in via 100-year-old spiral staircase. Once you enter the old brewery, you are taken down deep underground, well below the brewery structure, into a section that hasn't been seen by the public in nearly 100 years. That's awesome.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
They say that when, and I know there was a lot of, we're going to talk about some of the tragedy, but they say when this, they did not make it through Prohibition very well, obviously. They just did not. I mean, some of these other breweries did. They figured out ways to get, you know, survive until Prohibition was over.
Yeah.
This family did not. And they basically just closed overnight. It was like, we're done. We're closing. They didn't give any, they just put a notice on the door. We're closed. We're done. They didn't give their workers any kind of a, hey, this is what we're going to do. There's no going away party. There's no thank you for your service. It was just,
we're done.
We closed the doors. That kind of a, and that's a sudden impact on a lot of families, you know. So that's part of this history, unfortunately, too. And I'm, and some of the tragedy, obviously, that befell the family, I'm sure is connected to all
it's
that.
It's kind of like a Roslyn Bakery. My mom worked there part-time in the early mid-2000s, and they did that. She showed up for work.
And it was like,
it was close.
You don't have a job anymore.
Everybody's like, yeah. I mean, she was just doing it
happens,
part-time.
But
But a business like that's been in business for a long time. Yeah, she was like, oh,
yeah,
it'd be nice if you could have told me.
Go home.
Yeah. She called my dad, because she didn't drive, so she called my dad. She's like, honey, can you come pick me up?
I'm no longer employed.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway.
It says, the Lemp family began with Johann Adam Lemp, who arrived in St. Louis from Jutschwigi, Germany.
What was that again?
Jutschwigi.
Oh, nailed it.
Germany. In 1838, building a small grocery store at what is now Delmar and 6th Street, he sold common household items, groceries, and homemade beer. The light golden lager was a welcome change from the darker beers that were sold at the time. The recipe handed down by his father was so popular that just 2 years later, he gave up the grocery store and built a small brewery in 1840 at a point close to where the Gateway Arch stands today.
Ooh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
William Sr., which is the son of, I believe, Adam Limp.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here, at the same time he was building his own business, he also helped Pabst Anheuser-Busch mm-hmm. get started.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of him. Okay. Anheuser, honey. I don't know. Never heard of this family.
Yeah, that's cool. That was pretty
it's
cool.
All connected too. Yeah,
it's interesting how far back those companies go,
right?
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they were started in the 60s. No, 1860s maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The family married well, particularly William Lemp Jr., who married Lillian Handlin, a railroad supply heiress called the Lavender Lady, because of her preference for that color. Her horses' harnesses were even adorned in that particular shade. Their divorce 10 years after they were married was the talk of the town and scandal of the decade, but all was not well in the family, even though their business was thriving and they were treated like kings and queens everywhere they went in the city. In 1901, William Lemp Sr. lost his son Frederick, who had a heart problem, and 3 years later, he shot himself with a .38 caliber revolver in his bedroom in the Lemp Mansion. And then it said, after his father's death, William Jr. turned the mansion into the company's headquarters upon assuming the reins of the company, and all was well for a spell. Sad. So,
it is sad.
So Frederick dies, heart problems, and then the dad
sad.
In the bedroom.
It said that she was a Lavender Lady, but the only time that she wore anything but lavender was seen in it when she was at the divorce proceedings, and she wore entirely a black outfit
right.
before the judge, it said.
Yeah.
After Senior's son's heart failure and death, he said that he was rarely seen in public. And then on January 1st, 1904, his closest friend, Frederick Pabst, also died.
Oh.
Leaving William indifferent to the details of running the brewery.
Man.
So then that's when he was getting nervous and unsettled and mental health decline.
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of this was mental health and
mm-hmm.
did not know how to handle.
Cope.
Coping skills were not the best, and it's sad. Says the family did not sell the property and instead restored it as a residence even as their reign as a beer empire ended due to prohibition. But the tragedies in the house did not end there. In 1949, Charles Lemp, who was William Jr.'s brother, shot himself in the same room as his brother had. In quotes, it says, "In case I am found dead, blame it on no one but me," he wrote cryptically in his suicide note. Man, yeah, like just a family that had all kinds of problems.
It said, though the brewery's fortunes were continually declining, the Lemp Mansion was entirely remodeled in 1911, partially converted into offices. At that time, William allowed the company's equipment to deteriorate without keeping abreast of industry innovations. By World War I, brewery was just barely limping along. William soon built a country home on the Merrimack River, to which he increasingly retreated. And in 1915, he married for a second time to Ellie Lindbergh, the widowed daughter of the St. Louis brewer Casper Kohler, I guess that's how I say it. Then Prohibition came along in 1919. The individual family members were already wealthy, so they were little there was little incentive to keep the brewery afloat. So that's how it kept going down. The workers learned of the closing. I told you, they found the sign on the door that said they'd shut the gates and locked them. On March 20th, 1920, Elsa Lemp Bright, William's sister, the wealthiest heiress in St. Louis, shot herself just like her father had years before. Elsa had said to have been despondent over her rocky marriage. boom, another one. It's like, ugh. They did. They just kept, it was mm-hmm. less like this deterioration of this family.
Yeah.
And then,
lamp went limp.
Yeah.
I presume this is Junior, because this is after his father shot himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was busy running the brewery during the day and being naughty at night, holding lavish parties in the caves below the mansion. He would bring in numerous prostitutes
Whoa.
For entertainment
Sheesh.
For his friends and enjoy the swimming pool and bowling alley and free-flowing beer. Why not? You're a distillery.
Yeah, right.
And then
how'd he get that?
Any of his friends who attended the lavish events were known to enjoy a high time in the earth below.
Oh, he was a playboy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You like the nightlife.
Oh, yeah. Another story of Will's shenanigans that caught up to him was that he sired a son with a woman other than his wife.
Uh-oh.
Someone like him.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. There's no official documentation that the boy ever existed.
Hmm.
Rumors that his boy was hidden in the mansion attic for his entire life and have been prevalent over the years. According to a St. Louis historian, Joe Gibbs, he interviewed a former nanny and a chauffeur who worked at the mansion long ago. Both of them verified that the boy did exist and was housed in the attic quarters
mm-hmm.
that also housed the servants' rooms. Spawned from Will's philandering with mm-hmm. either one of the many prostitutes or a mansion servant,
mm-hmm.
the boy was born with Down syndrome.
Oh.
A total embarrassment to the family, the boy was hidden away mm-hmm. from the world mm-hmm. in order to cloak the limp's shame, known today as the Monkey Face Boy.
Oh, that's sad. That's terrible.
This unfortunate soul continues to show his presence at the Limp Mansion. So Aww. Apparently he passed away there.
Yeah.
Oh, he was hidden away.
Mm. So that was the fifth death. So three suicides and then two
deaths.
Non-suicide. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It says of all the Limps, only Edwin Limp, who had long avoided the life that had turned so tragic for the rest of his family, remained. He was known as a quiet, reclusive man who had walked away from the Limp Brewery in 1913 to live a peaceful life on a secluded estate in Kirkwood, Missouri. Edwin passed away quietly of natural causes at the age of 90 in 1970. According to Edwin's last wishes, his butler burned all of the paintings that the Limps had collected throughout his life, as well as priceless family documents and artifacts. These irreplaceable pieces of history vanished into the smoke of a blazing bonfire. The family line died out with him, and the family's resting place can now be found in a beautiful Bellefontaine Cemetery. After the death of Charles Limp, the mansion was sold and turned into a boarding house. Along with the nearby neighborhood, the building began to deteriorate, and the haunting tales began. Residents complained of ghostly knocks and phantom footsteps being heard throughout the house. As these stories spread, tenants were hard to find for the boarding house, and it continued to decline to a near flop house status. Flop house, huh?
Wow.
Interesting.
Did you guys get into William Jr.'s death?
Junior.
Not really. Just,
no. It says that he slipped into depression at the end of the brewing dynasty. Acting much like his father, he became increasingly nervous and erratic, shunning public life and often complaining of ill health. On December 29th, 1922, William shot himself in the heart with a 38 caliber revolver in the very same building where his father had died 18 years before.
I think he's the one that fired
Jeez.
His secretary.
That's insane.
And then shot himself, yeah. Yeah, I had mentioned that he shot himself, but I didn't get into it really.
I didn't think you put any details.
One of the deaths.
Yeah.
Right.
Tragic death.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that he shot himself.
Same, yeah.
With a revolver. Same, exactly the same like his father.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, it is.
This place is nutso.
It's a wackadoo. Is that?
And it's sad and it's tragic and it's just, you think they would, I think there was something going on in those brains that the family had definitely something going on.
If you're ever there, it says that he took his life on the main level of the mansion, just inside the entrance to the left.
Oh, okay.
I hate to call it this, but it sounds like Maniac Mansion, which is a video game, a Nintendo game. It just sounds crazy. Now, there is a character that comes into this story that's even better than all these other ones, and I'm gonna change his name slightly, so it's too funny to say it the other way. In 1975, the old mansion was saved when Richard Poynter and his family purchased it. Immediately, they began to renovate the building, turning it into a restaurant and inn. Workers within the house often told stories of apparitions, strange sounds, vanishing tools, and a feeling of being watched. Frightened by the hauntings, many would leave the job site never to return.
Mm.
Da-da-da-da. Oh, Richard.
Richard Poynter, yeah. You say.
I do say Richard Poynter.
Yeah, I finally found where...
easily abused.
Illegitimate child of Williams, now in his 30s, died at the mansion. He was buried in the limp cemetery plot with only a small flat marker with the word limp.
Really?
Yep.
Not even, wow.
Not even first name or nothing. Shortly after the monkey face boy's death, Charles became the fourth member of the limp family to commit suicide.
Hmm. Man.
Hmm.
Okay.
Four of them that committed suicide.
Okay, so I was right the person.
See, you were right. Okay. You had your math right. We should never doubt the math guy.
Come on.
I was doubting myself.
Yeah, Charles is the one that shot his Doberman Pinscher and
Chucky.
Yeah.
In the basement, then he went and shot himself upstairs.
Yeah, shot himself holding a .38 caliber.
It's a rough
Army
day.
Colt revolver in his right hand.
Man,
they love those .38s.
Yeah, no kidding. Got a little story here. Let me see here. It says, we've been sending our Sydney Stallworth to some of the most haunted places around town. This week, we're looking inside the Limp Mansion, one of the most famously feared places in St. Louis. It says, we met with Betsy Burnett Bellinger, the official paranormal investigator and historian for the Limp Mansion. She told our reporter the mansion's reputation shifted from famous to infamous over time. She says it's because of the hauntings and the suicides. Says the mansion's past might surprise you. So they get in what we've already talked about, the tragedies of the suicides and the deaths. And this says there were four suicides. Three of them happened in the Limp Mansion. And she says her research supports these claims that it is haunted. She says she's also heard stories from some of the boarders that's mm-hmm. haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She said the sudden and tragic nature of the deaths in the house have caused the Limp family spirits to become earthbound and linked to the house. Jeez. But they're not alone. We do get spirits that have crossed over and crossed back and visit us, and they're around us here in the house. She said, according to me, there are 9 spirits in the house. It says, but the most shocking moments with spirits in the mansion have come when they've least expected. She said, I'd feel something and turn around and there was nothing there. She'd also talk about another supernatural experience she had while she was sleeping in the mansion. She says, I heard someone walking around the bed and it wasn't my partner who was there. It kept walking and walking and circling and circling. And it felt like it leaned over me and makes just this gut-wrenching moan. Says these moments don't deter people from making, I know, these moments don't deter people from making their way to Limp Mansion. The strange happenings draw them in.
Oh man.
Did you mention anything about it, when Dick Poynter and his family purchased
it? You just had to go there, Nate.
Well, I
did.
I know you mentioned Dick Poynter, about
Dick,
when
call me Richard Poynter.
When they when they're doing the renovations, did you mention anything about the apparitions and stuff during that time?
I did a little bit, but not much. Okay. You got more on it?
What you got, Nate?
Just that they told stories of apparitions, strange sounds, vanishing tools.
Nope. Oh, I did. Yeah. Okay. Yep. I mentioned that part.
Okay.
Sorry.
And some great. Of the guys would leave and never return.
That's it. Yes, yeah. I mentioned that.
Heck yeah.
They were talking about the restaurant when it opened. The staff members reported several strange experiences. Mm-hmm. The apparitions would appear, quickly vanish. Voices and sounds would come from nowhere. Glasses will often lift off the bar, flying through the air by themselves. On other occasions, doors are said to lock and unlock themselves. Lights inexplicably turn on and off on their own free will. And the piano bar often plays when no one is near. Said to be haunted by several members of the Limp family, there are three areas of the old mansion that have the most activity: the stairway, the attic, and what the staff refers to as the gates of hell in the basement.
Oh,
it is the area of the basement that used to be the entrance to the caves running below the mansion brewery. So, or Dracula's castle.
I'd hate to get caught in those caves and have some crazy spirit or demon.
The attic is said to be haunted by William Jr.'s illegitimate son.
The monkey face boy?
A monkey face boy. This poor soul, born with Down syndrome, spent his entire life locked in the attic, as I said before.
I'd heard that.
And then strange occurrences are often witnessed on the third floor level of the mansion. The face of the boy has regularly been seen from the street, peeking from the small windows of the mansion.
Oh, sad.
Ghost investigators have often left toys in the middle of his room, drawing a circle around them to see if the objects have been moved. When they return the next day, the toys are found in another location.
Ah.
So he's playing with the toys.
I guess there's five rooms in the Limp Mansion that can be rented. It says, they say, but be warned, guests have had some experiences there. They just can't explain. But it says, all over the world, people still come here to partake in the paranormal aspects of this wonderful little old house. That's interesting, a little old house. It's not that little. But definitely has some crazy paranormal activity, it sounds like.
It says William Jr.'s personal domain had held the first freestanding shower in St. Louis. Many women have reported a man peeking over, big shocker on William's part, right?
Sean, you need to stop looking over the stalls.
I know. How'd you know it was me? Peeking over the stall. On one such occasion, a woman emerged from the bathroom, returning to the bar and stating to the two men she was there with, "I hope you got an eyeful." However, the two men quickly denied ever having left the bar, for which the bartender verified the ghost is said to be one of the womanizing a William Jr.
Yeah, we got to go there. Let's go.
Yeah, this will be fun.
When we're done here, we'll just head to St. Louis.
St. Louis.
It's only 4 hours.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Never been there, but.
So Josh Arnold, this is where he saw that floating orb on the staircase, right? And he said with the group, and he said it was one of those like hair raising on the back of your neck kind of feelings, like there's something not right about this. Like,
yeah, because I think he and a friend went
or something. And there was a group of them, and I think they were with a medium or whatever.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Like, she was really into it, and they were kind of like, yeah, sure, whatever. But then he's like, this is not something that you
could
fake.
In front of them.
It was, a floating orb and like, oh my God, this is like for
me. I'm not an orb guy, but that would be, if you can see it in real time, and you're, and there can't be, because it can be dust or lights or something, but where they were at and that being dark and all that, it's kind of hard to form an orb with where they were, in the conditions. So, Josh Arnold did say that, and he recommended it.
William Limp Sr.'s room, guests have often reported hearing someone running up the stairs kicking at the door. When William killed himself, William Jr. was known to have run up the stairs to his father's room and finding it locked, began to kick the door to try to get into his father.
Wow.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would. I love this story. I love the history. I don't know. It's just,
there's history to go with the happenings.
Yeah.
So it just puts more validation into this place.
Right. Yeah, I think it's cool. And I like when places like this, they also do a haunted attraction too. You know, so you're going to the haunted house, but you're actually in a haunted, a haunted house within a haunted house, I guess. I was trying to look up, some reviews. Let's see here. I found one. So I found a review from somebody that went to the Limp Mansion and Brewery. This one's pretty recent, October of 2022. I love her title or heading, whatever she wanted, you know, whatever. She called it Scary in a Foggy Good Time. Says, wow, what a difference from the darkness. As the darkness was made to amuse, amaze, and was more of a horror funhouse, the Lent Brewery Haunted House was designed to scare, and it got us several times. We had a blast in there, and it's daunting off of the get-go to enter and go almost three floors down a spiral staircase simply to enter the door. The entire event area is fogged out, and many times we couldn't tell where we were going or how to get to the next room. So in that, I do think it was too disorienting and caused a bottleneck of people in some of the rooms. But with that being said, it was a lot of fun. Says the scare actors were on point and some followed us and were creepy. Says the rooms were designed beautifully and very detailed. I really enjoyed some of the paths that were really narrow. I will admit that I used the light from my cell, not the flashlight, to kind of see at least a couple of feet in front of my face. He says I would certainly recommend it, and the warnings prior to entering the haunt are certainly warranted. Great time and worth every penny. And then this lady, she says the haunted attraction was the best in St. Louis. And we went to the darkness and Lemp and creepy world, and the abyss at Lemp was the scariest by far. So there's a couple of reviews from the haunted attraction, you know, within the mansion. And then this one says the brewery was fun, awesome. And they went to the haunted attraction along with it. And it was a spooky good time. And and they recommend the brewery and restaurant. Yeah. So.
There was I looked over, I watched some videos on investigations here, and then there was a good article about this investigation group, and they went through with a group of people, and one of the people heard a child's voice saying over and over again, help me, help me.
Oh.
This little child's voice. And then they go on to talk about, it says, they as we began to make our way downstairs past William Limp Sr.'s room, they were pulled aside because the door was standing wide open with a key in the door, not going in. They just wanted to peek. They continued their journey down the hall when an alarm was raised by the guests of the room. When they had arrived back for dinner, they found the door wide open and were looking for the manager. However, there was no key in the door when they arrived. The manager quickly responded, it was impossible that there had been a key in the door, as there were only two keys to that room. One was in the hands of the guest, the other was in the hands of the manager. So who opened this door, and where was the key when they had passed? Later on, several members of the group had described passing a man in the hallway holding a key in his hand, and described as acting irritated with the large group moving through the hallway, described as pale, older, and wearing a white shirt and black pants. No one thought anything of it at the time, believing him to be a member of the staff. However, they would find out that there was no such gentleman working or staying at the mansion that night that met that description. Though no harm was done and nothing was disturbed in the guest room, the whole experience was very bizarre.
Mm.
It's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. That is real cool. Here's a little tidbit I find interesting. Charles Lemp was friends with Vincent Price.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it says, in a way it makes sense. A character like Charles Lemp being friends with horror actor Vincent Price. It says Price was a frequent visitor to the Lemp Mansion. Wanting to stay with his friend, it said that pair went out to St. Louis art galleries together. Being famous didn't excuse Vincent from the eccentric... I had this word in my head, eccentricities.
Eccentricities. Eccentricities. That is a hard one.
Of Charles. One habit was to awake the entire house every morning at 5 a.m., waking himself, then walking the hallways, pounding on the doors until the two servants and guests were all up. It says, hey, kids, not sure who he is? You might know Vincent from the creepy voice from Michael Jackson's Thriller. That's cool, though.
I can't quite do it like Vincent.
Friends Bruce. With Charles, yeah. Yeah, right. Leave it to the professionals, Sean.
I know, exactly. Yeah, no kidding.
Man, this place has all kinds of, has all kinds of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I definitely want to see what's going on there. I'd like to check out. Yeah, and you can stay, like Nate said, you can stay there and we can get creeped out and you can have some spirits with the spirits if you want.
Spirits with the spirits.
It gets that good. Sounds fun. It really does get a lot of 4 and 5 star reviews on everything, whether it's the brewery, the tour of the house, the haunted attraction. Yeah, I think everybody on here that's reviewed gives it at least a 4 to 5.
There was a somebody that had visited there. This is one last good story. A couple weeks ago, my husband and I were part of a large group that dined at the mansion. We were seated straight back from the entrance in a rear dining room. In the past, I have had a number of experiences with spirits from an early age of six, and have come to the conclusion that I am far more, quote unquote, open to them than most people. We arrived late, so we were quickly whisked back to our table, and throughout dinner, I did not sense anything. However, when leaving, we had the opportunity to linger in the entryway entrance to the dining room. That is the first one on the first left of the entrance. I felt something immediately. I can't say that it was negative, but more so noisy and cranky. And I got the strong sense that it was more male or masculine. I got the sense that he was seeking my attention, and I was drawn to the corner of the room. That is a diagonal from the entrance to that room. I felt a shiver and immediately developed goosebumps and told my husband, "There's something or someone in this room. I'm getting major heebie-jeebies." He left just after I said that, and we did not get any more opportunity to explore. But it's like, oh.
You get the heebie-jeebies here. Yeah. I've got a couple, two more haunted stories, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
This person went to the Lent Mansion and decided to stay to see what kind of experience they had. Says, a little after midnight, I decided that if the ghosts were going to get me, let them, because I needed to get some more sleep. So I closed the door and went to bed. I tried to sleep, but with no avail. All I could think of was what would happen when I closed my eyes. I tossed and turned with the ceiling light and fan on above me, feeling a bit of a chill even under the covers. Later, I decided to turn the fan off, but when I stood on the bed, I saw blinking lights through the glass window above my door. I boldly went to my door and opened it. Someone or something turned off the hall light, and in the shadows, a woman appeared. Says, oh, I'm sorry, I said to the apparent guest from the next room. She didn't look like a ghost as she stood next to the doorway of the next room to mine. She says, that's okay. I shut my door wondering if she were taking pictures of the hall, and I saw flashes go off. I didn't feel scared when I saw her, but a tad relieved that I wasn't totally alone in the attic. And it says, after 5 a.m., after more tossing and turning, I decided to get up and head to the nearby coffee house. When I opened the door, the hall light was on again. No one was present, and I scurried out of the deathly quiet mansion, fearful at every turn, trying to make it to the back door, the only way accessible to guests after the staff leaves at night. It says, would the ghostly Doberman pincher that Charles Lemp shot before killing himself try to scare me out of my wits somewhere along the hallways or stairways as I made my escape to freedom? Fortunately, nothing happened. It says, I arrived at the coffee house 10 minutes later and asked the waitress, do you have anything soothing? I stayed overnight at the Lamp Mansion, and my nerves are shot.
These are spirits, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There, I have one. My name is Renee, and I have family in St.
Your name
Louis.
Is Nate.
My name is, yes. But my name this story is. And has family in St. Louis, Missouri. So when we visit, my husband and I, along with my brother and my cousin, make a trip to the Lamp Mansion when we're in the area. Our last visit was on March 24th, 2003. We arrived at the mansion around 8:30 p.m. To find out that a show and dinner party was in effect. However, we were told that we could look around on the main floor and upstairs. Neither my husband or myself have ever been in the attic. Excuse me. So that's the first place we headed. Already creeped out because of the dark and silence, our group soon reached the end of the long hall where the monkey boy was kept. However, as we turned around to leave, all four of us got instant chills when we heard a little boy say, "Come play with me." Mm. I told my brother to shut up, and he responded, "I didn't say anything." That's when the boy repeated himself again and then turned to my husband, saying the same thing to him as I had to my brother. And he said, "That wasn't me. It's time to go."
Yeah,
that was the first. That was the first encounter in 10 years of visiting the Lemp Mansion. I hope there will be more. I'm fascinated with ghosts.
Fantastic story. Yeah, I think we should end on that.
I agree. Well, there's so many stories. There's countless.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean,
so they have so many. I mean, this is like
all the people that visit.
Very active. Tons of stories.
I know we say it all the time that this is like one of the most haunted. It is the most haunted. This really might be one of the most haunted.
I'm sold.
I am too. I'm That's why I want to go.
Yeah, I think, Creepies, I think you need to check this out. You know, Google Lent Mansion and check out some videos because there's some really cool stories and videos.
It's a beautiful building. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah. There's some really neat pictures that show the how they decorate and good choice, Nate.
Yeah.
Lemp Mansion.
St. Louis. Right.
Mizzou. So
a little buzz in the ear from Josh Arnold.
Yeah.
Who's a skeptic, but he also enjoys this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that was what was interesting when he told about it, how it was like, even though I'm skeptical, there was something not right in that mansion. So
that
makes me want to go eat more.
Yeah. We'll
with
we'll
Josh just, Arnold.
Right? We're going to we'll take him hostage. We'll make him go with us.
The hostile, right?
Well, yeah.
It does have
caves. Just kidding, Josh. Just kidding.
It does have caves. Yeah. I want to see that. I want to see the caves, the underground caves. And the spiral staircase. Oh, I love spiral staircases.
I think it's pretty cool. They had bowling alley and swimming pool and all sorts of stuff down in those caves.
Like, you got some money if you have a bowling alley and a swimming pool. Yeah.
It's pretty
inside
cool.
Inside the place. Yeah. So,
it's big stuff.
Well, Sean, what do you have coming off of that?
I have a dark side. Since this is,
I knew it.
Yay! Because I told you, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You told him.
Was
this our second opportunity? And I did a middle-aged moment. I'm like, okay, so let's do a dark side. Let's get this going. Let's get this party in 2023 started, right? This is 3 Days Grace. Anybody know 3 Days Grace?
No.
No, nobody? Yep. Nobody here?
I know
nobody.
Three Doors Down and
this
three,
is
Three Dog Night, but not...
This is whatever. 3 Days Grace.
Okay.
Three you Amigos.
Three.
The Three Caballeros. No. This is Never Too Late. I heard the song during the week, hadn't heard it in quite a while, and I'm like, this is perfect. It goes, this world will never be what I expected, and if I don't belong, who would have guessed it? I will not leave alone everything that I own to make you feel like it's not too late. It's never too late. Even if I say it'll be all right, still I hear you say you want to end your life. Now and again, we just try to stay alive. Maybe we'll turn it all around because it's not too late. It's never too late. No one will ever see the side reflected, and if there's something wrong, who would have guessed it? And if I have left everything that I own to make you feel like it's not too late, it's never too late. Even if I say it'll be all right, still I hear you say you want to end your life. Now and again, we try to just stay alive. Maybe we'll turn it around because it's not too late. It's never too late. The world we know won't come back. The time we've lost, can't get it back. The time we had won't be ours again. This world will never be what I expected. And if I don't belong, even if I say it'll be all right, still I hear you say you want to end your life. Now and again, we try to just stay alive. Maybe we'll turn it all around because it's not too late. It's never too late. So I love that part of it. It's a great song. Yeah, have you not heard it before?
No.
Excellent. Go out there and listen to it. I always say that, but it is really good.
I like the words.
It's excellent because there's that, and that's what makes it a perfect dark side. Is it's talking about like, just don't give up, man. Like it is not too late. It's never too late. I love that part of it, and it is, and the music that goes along with it is phenomenal. But it is. It's just one of those songs that it feels very like it's a song to bring you down, but it's actually one that brings you right back up. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And it's perfect. I needed it just at the right time. I found the Gremlins cigarette. Oh. We were talking about that last time.
I was like, what are you
doing? I was like, what is this little thing here? Sorry, I got a little distracted. The Gremlins losing all this paraphernalia. So not like me. But anyway, so I know somebody out there, I needed to hear it when I heard it on the radio, and now I'm sure somebody out there needed to hear it, and we'll go listen to this and say, it's my song. It's my jam right now.
It's funny how those songs can do that. It kind of, they sound ominous or down, depressing, but actually they do lift you
up. The message is good.
Yeah.
This is one of those, I promise. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you. I liked it.
No problem.
I like it a lot.
No problem.
What else we got, Sean?
I got the second part of the announcements, if you're so inclined to listen.
I'm so declined.
Declined. Please.
Your card's been declined.
It's been declining a long time.
Is my microphone going to be turned off? Shut this podcast down.
All right.
Please follow us on all social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. We also have an email address. It is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Email us. Tell us how we're doing, how you're doing. Merch requests, show ideas, whatever you want, or just to say hello. Catch us on Tuesdays. We have Tuesday Terror videos every Tuesday. We offer sponsorships and opportunities for individuals and businesses. Two different costs there. Email us if you're interested for details. We are on all podcast listening platforms and apps. Go to the one you want to listen to and go listen to us. Please hit the subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating review and review our show. Please do. We want to do that. And word of mouth means everything to us.
We haven't had one yet this year.
Tell everybody. Five-star?
Well, I was going to say. 11th, sorry.
All year long we haven't? Yeah, well, there's time, right?
They're sort of like a shooting star.
You're right.
You only see him every so often. Twinkle,
twinkle. It's hard. Creepies, give us ratings and reviews, please.
Please.
Did I yell at him? I didn't mean to yell at him. Sorry.
You yelled a little bit.
He didn't mean it.
I did.
Don't yell at me.
Anyway, sorry.
We do also sell merch with our logo on it.
I like how you say with our logo.
With our logo. What like else it's going to be anything else.
We sell merch with other podcast
logos. A big
logo.
Buttocks on it.
I'm sure you can. We can arrange to have just like Sean's face.
We want to sell merch.
I was going to say, you don't want to deter these things, right? Go get you some, but not with my face on it or the buttocksy.
You can get our faces on them if you have mice problems.
Right, yeah, right, to scare the mice away.
Hang a shirt on your...
Scare the rodents away.
Yeah.
We offer segment sponsorships for all episodes. Individuals and businesses are both welcome. Please email us for more detail and information for that.
We have one more segment available to sponsor. Mm-hmm. For our 100th episode.
Yeah, that's great, though.
So
that we've already
got three so far. We'll have one more. Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
Coolio.
I thought I'd mention it.
You know,
if anybody wants to be inclined to help us out. Thank you, Sean. Good job for that. Those announcements. Mm-hmm. Nate, brother, what do you got?
I think it's about time to limp on out of here.
Limp-a-da-doo.
That's a wrap.
Good job. I like it. I had a feeling it was going to be something like that. You didn't let me down. You didn't disappoint.
No.
Thank you for that. And let's thank our creepies for listening to our episode number 96 and our discussion on the Lemp Mansion. And until next time, Nate is your award-winning sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.